Friday. As you saw, Tim Tebow gracing our screens. Common will be with us later. Ryan Clark will join us. Yes, Stephen A. Smith.
Hey, hey.
I'm Molly Karen Rose. Happy Friday. How we feeling?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm ready to go. I was in a better mood about 3 minutes ago, 2 minutes ago. I didn't know my brother was going to get at me like that, but that's all right. It's okay. It's okay.
It's, it's just a start.
Let's go.
Oh, my goodness. No, first, tell everybody it's a new day here on First Take. We want to remind them one last time.
Absolutely. We want to do that. Obviously, it's a new day. Max Kellerman has transitioned to morning show with Keyshawn and Jay Williams, plus his own show, This Just In, on every Friday on ESPN, on every day on ESPN, from 2 to 3 p.m. here. You and I will remain here. We'll have a potpourri of contributors and analysts every Friday. My man Tim Tebow's here. Every Monday, Michael Irvin's here. Swagoo, Keyshawn, Jeff Saturday, Dan Orlovsky, Mina Kimes, Kimberly Martin. The list goes on and on. Plus, stars from the world of sports and entertainment who wanted to get at me. Obviously, Common is one of those people. My condolences to him in advance. He'll be on a little bit later. Today is Tim Tebow's day. I saw the way he came at me. I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Let's do this. Let's do this.
Giants Nation. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad.
I kind of told you.
Taylor Heinicke fueled a comeback win over the New York Giants last night in his third start of his career. He led a two-minute drive capped by a Dustin Hopkins 43-yard field goal at the buzzer for a 30-29 victory. Hopkins had initially missed that from 48 yards, but New York penalized for being offside 11 penalties for 81 yards. Washington evened his record at 1-1 in Heinicke's first start, subbing for the injured Ryan Fitzpatrick. He'll miss 6-8 with a right hip. Saquon Barkley had 13 carries for 57 yards. Obviously, coming back from that knee. Here he is, and his head coach.
No need to panic. I know, no offense to you guys, everyone's going 0-2. This is again, it's a broken record, the Giants doing this again. But at the end of the day, only people were you guys, those guys in the locker room. And we got to look in each other's face and say, we got to stop it. And we got to figure out a way to stop it. We got to go with the coaches, got to come to work every single day. And when we get the opportunities to win games, to finish games, capitalize.
I love the fans. I appreciate all their support. And the fact that they're having a gut punch on that, you know, that means they're invested with us right there. It means they're you know, staying with us right there and watching us fight and battle and following some of those emotional highs and lows of the game. Look, what I can tell the fans is this. You're going to keep seeing a team's going to fight for 60 full minutes. You're going to see a team, we're going to correct those disappointing things you saw on tape tonight. Don't worry about that as a fan base.
We are invested. I can't take the highs and lows anymore. No circumstantial living for me. Stephen A., who's to blame for the Giants' loss?
Well, I don't want to really say anybody's to blame. It was a good game. It was hard fought and what have you. But if I got to point the finger at anybody, it's going to be a coach, Joe Judge, who I'm a fan of. I like Joe Judge a lot and what have you. I think that he's a damn good coach. I've seen what I've seen from him with the New York Giants. As far as I'm concerned, dating back from last year, practically every week, they got better and better. And that's the mark of a good coach as far as I'm concerned. But if you look at a couple of things that transpired, it was two offsides penalties late in the fourth quarter, particularly that last one with the game-winning field goal on the line. Lawrence jumps offside, and as a result, they got a second shot at the field goal, and they ultimately made it. This guy got the head coach job. What did he do before he arrived in New York, Tim Tebow? He was
special teams
coordinator. Mm-hmm. He was a special teams coach for the New England Patriots. Again, I hate to use the word blame because these kind of things happen, and we get that, and I'm going to put the onus on players because I know they were taught better. But in the end, if you are a special teams coach, that's your specialty. Special teams, that's what you were doing before you landed the head coaching job with the New York Giants. That's pretty much a lot. No, don't get me wrong. Darius Slayton dropping that wide open pass. It'll put you up 30-20 with a little over 6 minutes left. So we understand that there were other elements that went into the fray in terms of why they lost this game. But in the end, you still lose this game because that guy misses the field goal. But Lawrence jumped offsides. That's a special teams issue from a guy who's a special teams specialist. That's how I'm looking at it, Tim. That's why I drew the conclusion of looking at Judge.
Yeah, but if we're being honest, Stephen A., the reason the Giants lost is because of missed opportunities. They had opportunities with Darius Slayton down the field wide open that you have to connect on that. The best of the best never miss that play. And if the Giants want to take the next step, they're going to make that play. Also, when you have the ball with 2 minutes to go, you get a first down and then kick a field goal, you don't give Taylor Heinicke and Washington's offense a chance to go down and get a game-winning field goal. So I hear you, you know, blaming Joe Judge. I don't think this is on Joe Judge. I think it is on the missed opportunities of the Giants. And you don't think Joe Judge had told the defensive line, hey, watch the football, watch the football, watch the football. Of course he said that. But eventually it has to be up to the players to go out and execute that, especially at those critical times. But I also feel like a little bit was like, hey, it's sort of Joe Judge, but it wasn't, is what you're saying. So which one was it?
It is. It is Joe Judge. I was just trying to be nice because I'm on the air with Tim Tebow. That's what I was trying to do. It is Joe Judge. Okay, let me be very, very clear about that. And here's the reason why. Again, when we look at the New England Patriots and the greatness of Bill Belichick and his coaching staff for years and years and years, what are we religiously pointed to? The meticulous tendencies that they exercise on a constant basis. He'll make you do stuff over and over and over again. Attention to detail. Making sure, above all else, you don't beat yourself. You do your job. You do the things that you're supposed to do. You master the art of your particular craft. So, again, of course, the player can't be absolved because they're the ones that made the error. But if you're a special teams guy and you lose a game on the last play of the game because of a special teams error, I'm going to look at you because you're that guy. As the head coach, you got the job because of what you did prior to landing that job. You were the special teams coordinator in New England for 3 years. 3 to 4 years. That's what you were doing. You had been there for many years under Bill Belichick. This is what you do. And so to me, again, of course it's on Lawrence. He's the one that made the error. But you're the head coach of the New York Giants. It's the fifth consecutive season. You're starting out 0-2. You've only been there for 2 years now. You started off 0-2. You're in a hole already. We get all of that. In the end, you cannot make the errors that they make. And the fact that we're pointing to errors says to me that the meticulous tendencies that he comes from, that he emanates from, haven't been exercised or mastered with the New York Giants as of yet.
Listen, if we're using the analogy of the New England Patriots, well, when you really look at the Patriots, the reason why they've been better than everybody else is because on third down in the red zone, when they get a chance to hit big opportunities, they don't miss them. Well, that's exactly what the Giants missed. The Giants executed better throughout the game than the Washington football team. The Giants looked better. Their offense looked better for most of the game. They had a chance to put it away. When the Patriots have those chances, for years and years, they've done it. They've executed. When they've had a shot on a deep post to put a team to sleep, they've done it. And so when I look at the difference, it's not necessarily Joe Judge. It's getting these players to execute at the most important times, the most critical times of the game. And if they do that, they probably win by at least 10.
All right, let's take it one step further. So Giants receiver Kenny Golladay was caught on the sideline yelling at Daniel Jones. You all saw that. Obviously got a big payday to come over, and frustration just boiled when they were trailing Washington late. Here's Jones on the incident.
There's lots of ways to communicate, and we'll work through it. You know, I think, you know, a game, there's a lot of emotions to the game, and I certainly understand that. Me and Kenny have a great relationship, and you know, I know we can communicate and you know, do what we need to do there. So I appreciate his passion and emotion.
Tim, you've played quarterback. You've been in these type of situations. Is this a big deal?
I don't think it's a big deal yet. And I got to be honest, I think the way Daniel Jones just handled it and the way he answered it was perfect. I mean, trying to do his best to squash it, to kind of put it to sleep. There are emotions. He's right. There is a lot of players are very passionate and tempers fly. And so this is going to happen. And I think the way Daniel Jones is coping with it, I think is really good. But at the same time, you don't want this to be out in public because the rest of the team is watching, right? And if your best receiver and your starting quarterback are arguing, that's not going to give the rest of the team a lot of confidence. So if there is an argument, let's take it in the injury tent. Let's wait till after the game. Let's find a way to do it because the rest of the guys are watching. And if they're saying, hey, they're not on the same page, it's probably not going to give as much confidence to the rest of the team. So I get it. Arguments are going to happen. Tempers are going to flare. But as much as we can still show unity and confidence in one another and still get our point across, I would prefer to see that.
You could prefer to see that, and I don't disagree with that point that you're making. But in the same breath, Tim Tebow, I would tell you this. Sometimes tempers flare. You know this better than me. You played. I didn't. And the reality is that those things happen. I think that this is a serious matter in this respect, not in the fact that there's any vitriol or animosity between the two as human beings. But I do think that this points to the level of belief or lack thereof in Daniel Jones at this particular moment in time. Let's understand that Kenny Golladay is a number one receiver in the National Football League. You know, the New York Giants went and made a big deal of his signing in this offseason. Anybody that scours the NFL knows that brother can play. The question mark ain't about him. The question mark is about Daniel Jones. We knew that coming into the season. We still feel that way after the first 2 weeks. In the first two games, he's got 7 receptions for 102 yards. How many times has he been targeted? He's been targeted 14 times. Now, Sterling Shepard's been targeted 19 times. Sterling Shepard last night had 9 receptions. It could be something along the lines, Tim, of him feeling he needs to be targeted more, whatever, because we know that goes on with receivers from time to time. But I think ultimately, it's about making the right decisions that you think will lend itself towards winning football games. And if you're looking at a guy like a Daniel Jones and you're questioning his decision-making, and particularly as it pertains to you, and you don't think that's conducive to winning, you're right. It would be preferable that it's not seen in the public eye. But it's certainly understandable that you're on the sidelines in the heat of action with a game on the line that you're trying to win, how that would happen at that particular moment.
Stephen A., I totally get your point, and it's a really good point. But more important is why. Why is it happening? Why is Sterling getting more looks? Why is he getting more receptions? Why is Kenny Golladay? Is that just on Daniel Jones? Maybe he's going through his reads and his progression, but it's not leading there. So is that on Daniel Jones, or is it on your quarterback coach, on your OC, on putting the passing game together? That would be the bigger question to me, is if you're not getting the receptions, is it because of a certain coverage that they're taking Kenny away, and they're not putting him in motion and putting him in slot and getting him in different positions? That could be another question. And then it's, all right, is Daniel Jones told to look in a different direction? If those are the cases, then guess what? Kenny needs to go talk to the QB coach or the offensive coordinator, and they need to have a conversation of saying, hey, I need to get involved in different ways.
Question. Let me ask you this question. You say that, and I definitely believe that's plausible, but my mentality is if I'm looking at Kenny Golladay, he's on a football team. He would know the answer to those questions that you asked. And so if he decides to go in the direction of Daniel Jones, maybe it's because he does know those things and Daniel Jones is doing something he ain't supposed to do. My question to you would be, how likely is it? I'm making an assumption that Kenny Golladay would know those things as a wide receiver on the field with Daniel Jones. How likely is it that he knows all of those things that you just pointed out?
Well, I think the biggest, the best assumption is to assume that it's a lot of little things. That is probably that Washington was doing something to take him away a little bit, putting someone underneath, being able to play a little too high to him, which they did play a lot throughout the night, and finding ways to take him away. I think that's part of it. I think part of it is that because of that too high, they were looking more for Sterling inside the middle, and he was having a good game. So I think it's a mixture of a lot of things. But also, you know, if I'm the Giants and I'm thinking, hey, we have a stud out here. We have to get him the ball. You know, at the best places I was at Florida, when we had Percy Harvin and we had some of the freaks, Aaron Hernandez and these guys, we would find a way to get them the ball. But that wasn't just on me. It was on, you know, Urban and Dan Mullen saying, hey, we got to design a play, put him in the slot, put him in motion, find a way to get him the ball because we need to get him going and we need for him to be a catalyst to propel us, not someone that is holding us back.
No, Tim,
and
that's
so we would
great
find
point.
Ways to motion them to get them involved in the game. And if you feel like, you know, Kenny's not involved and we need to get him going, right?
Yeah.
Then I put that on the OC, design a play, move him around. Let's get him the ball so he is contributing.
I got
talked about that yesterday with Dan Orlovsky. He said it's the most elementary offense in the NFL.
Only thing
and then Jason Garrett needs to go.
Only thing I would say is this. That is what Dan Orlovsky pointed out. Here's the other thing. In terms of Golladay, where did he play the previous 4 years? It was Detroit. Mm-hmm. Yet he didn't win games. But Matthew Stafford was throwing him that football.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford, Daniel Jones. It's
all
worth
right.
pointing out.
Giants have 10 days to get it right. That's when Atlanta comes to town. Let's move on, can we?
Well, Atlanta, you'll be all right.
Yeah, we saw vintage Gronk and Brady hooking up for 2 touchdowns in their season opener versus Cowboys. Same thing they did in their Super Bowl victory in a new installment of Tampa Bay's Tommy and Gronky series where they answer the most searched questions about themselves. Brady says he thinks he can play football until age 50, but his wife, Giselle Bundchen, she might think differently.
Wow. Seems to be a really hot question lately. Can Tom Brady play till 50? Like 50 years old?
Yeah, 50.
50.
You're 44, that's 6 more years.
I think, I mean, I don't find it so difficult. And plus, in the Florida, it's kind of a retiree state, so I feel like I can play and then just glide into retirement. I think I can. I think it's a yes.
You know, there's a little spin to that question. I think it's, will Giselle let Tom play till 50? That's the real question.
That is a way better question. And in fact, why would they not Google that? I think they should. That was, of course, no. Well, maybe that answer.
I'm so smart, I'm the Google master now.
I'm just kidding.
Now.
I'm sorry, babe. I love you. You would let me. You'd let me do anything as long as I'm happy.
I'm kind of jealous. They are having so much fun out there in Florida. I love this new Tom. Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner had thoughts on this. Sorry, Tom Brady, I may have played to 50 with these rules to protect quarterbacks. Come on, Stripes, let them play ball. Stephen A.
Yeah.
Do you believe Tom Brady, he's 44 right now?
Yes.
Do you believe he could play until he's 50?
No, not at this level. I don't believe it for one second. And I think that, first of all, he's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. We all know this. Tom is special. We got all of that. Bow down to that man, you know, respect in that regard, football. But let me tell you this. It's disrespectful to all of those dudes playing football that a dude at age 50 could be on the phone, on the field, I'm sorry, with those young cats hitting you. Now, I understand last year he was sacked, what was it, like 21 times? Year before that, 27. Year before that, 21. He ain't getting slaughtered, and I get that. And he's smart enough to get the ball out of his hands quick enough. But it's still football. You're going to get hit. And at some point in time, it's going to hurt significantly more than it used to.
I don't know.
I don't believe that for one second.
And listen, people are taking care of their bodies better.
It's not like he's built like Tim Tebow, okay? It's not like he's built like Tim Tebow, right? Okay? I mean, it's not like that, okay? So we got to understand that, you know what? Listen, Father Time is undefeated. Now, Tom Brady might beat everybody else, but nobody's beating Father Time, okay? And people might say he's beating them so far. No, that don't get. At the end of the day, it ends. It ends.
Okay.
And it will end for him, and it will be before 50 without Giselle. Without Giselle. That's nothing to do with it. You ain't going to 50 because those young brothers in the league won't let that happen. They're going to put a licking on you, and you ain't going to keep on ticking. That's my belief.
Tim, I need to hear from you.
Steven, listen, Father Time might win the war, but TB12 and Tommy B has been winning a lot of battles, and I think he's got a lot more battles that he's going to be able to win. Listen, because of the rule changes and because of how good his offensive line and his receivers are around him and his therapy, that's a really big point that I think gets overlooked. Alex Guerrero, his trainer, and all of TB12 and all of the avocado ice cream and everything else, it is an incredible program that is keeping him healthy better than everybody else. And so I think that program is also having a lot to do with it, and you need to give him credit because he's the one that hired him away from everybody else and did all these programs to set his body up for success. So I think that's part of it. Is he going to play till 50? I don't know. But does he have, at this pace, with the way he's getting hit and the way he's playing, and his arm looks as strong as ever, and he's faster? I actually talked to Alex Guerrero's trainer. Tommy B is faster than he's ever been before. So at this pace, I think he could play another 3-4 years, especially with how good the Bucs are. But the question is, does he want to? If they win again, you know, in the next 3 years, if they win again, does he want to just hang it up and ride off into the sunset? He's actually already in a good sunset because he's in Florida. That would be the question. Right. But can he? Maybe.
You say Florida. No state income tax. That's the plus. The minus is those big bugs.
Oh,
but I
goodness.
Just thought I'd throw that out there. It's
you are a beautiful mind.
There's a big bugs in Florida. Big
too
bugs.
Too human for you.
Okay, I'm just saying. But Florida, but no state income taxes, and it is. It is.
Hey, listen, Stephen A., we know you want to come here. If you want to come to Florida, feel free. We can set you up with a good place, all right? You'll be just fine.
I would come, but it wouldn't be Gainesville.
I
tell you that much. It wouldn't be Gainesville. You can scratch that. Not Gainesville.
Hey, listen, G-Vegas is a beautiful place. There's going to be a lot of people when they show up this weekend. They're going to be like, dang, this place
G-Vegas
is crazy. Because it's going to be rocking.
A lot of good one-liners by Tim Tebow today. G-Vegas.
Okay, all right, yes. Tim Tebow. I didn't know he had that in him. G-Vegas. Okay, all right.
All right, guys. We all agree if anyone could do it, it would be Tom Brady.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Number one, Alabama heading to the Swamp Saturday in a rematch of last season's SEC championship game, won 52-46 by the Crimson Tide. The Gators enter the game as a 15.5-point underdog, the largest home underdog Florida has been this century. Paul Feinbaum described the Swamp as one of the most difficult places to play. Why are you laughing, Stephen?
Because it won't be this weekend.
Does Paul Feinbaum know college football? Okay, Stephen A., honestly.
Stephen A., you just need to calm down about that, all right? I'm not sure if you've ever been to the Swamp, but right. But we'll invite you just so you can see what it's like, all right? Okay. This is truly, I know Les Miles always said that Death Valley was a place that opposing dreams came to die. Yeah. That's what's happened a lot of times here in Gainesville. And listen, it's only, you know, Friday morning, but I'm sweating. I got to literally take off my jacket right now because it is so humid right here.
The hot throb.
In Gainesville. Let's just be honest about this. This is what opposing teams come in and face, all right? The humidity, it's going to be like over 100% humidity, all right? Let's just be honest. I mean, it will probably be 100%, but it's going to feel like more because that crowd's going to be going so crazy.
Even sweating in
and
the
listen,
studio.
A lot of great teams have shown up here, and they have no idea how to answer that bell of 90-something thousand fans freaking out. Listen, Alabama is the better team. There's no doubt about it. But did you just see on that highlight reel when I said Florida is going to compete? And what did they do? They competed better than any other team in the country did against Alabama last year. And it was 52-46. Right, so would you count that as competition or no?
No, I would count that as competition, and I'll give you your props. Because you told me it was going to be more competitive than I thought it would be. And I respect that, and I got that. But do you have any idea how laughable your position is right now? I mean, this is an all-timer. I want everybody to pause, and I want y'all to take a deep breath and think about what Tim Tebow just did. We got Florida, the Gators, Gator Nation, in Gainesville, hosting the reigning, defending national champions and the number one team in the nation. And Tim Tebow brought up humidity.
You bring up weather all the time.
He brought up the humidity. He didn't say anything about the quarterback.
First of all, calm down. I didn't just bring up humidity. I brought up environment. Humidity is just a piece of it, right? If you don't think this environment is a place where other people freeze, where opposing teams freeze, where they crumble, then you should just go look at the record books.
My bad. Let me get more specific, okay? Because, you know, I haven't seen Florida. Forgive me. I was busy. I didn't have it on my schedule.
Why would you watch the tape? Let me express myself.
I apologize. I didn't get a chance to watch Florida versus Florida Atlantic. I didn't get a chance to watch them against South Florida. My bad. But I did. I see Emory Jones here. That's one of your quarterbacks. Did he throw four interceptions already in the first two games against those dudes? Okay. We got Anthony Richardson. He got two touchdowns. Now, he can run the football 275 yards rushing in the first two games. I give him his props. And obviously, Emory Jones got 155 yards rushing. Jacob Copeland, I mean, he looks all right. But they going up against Alabama. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, listen, I bet you, they're going to get mopped. They're going to get destroyed. Let me be very, very clear about what I'm saying so we're not even confusing the issue. I don't care about humidity. I don't care about suffocation. I don't care about Gainesville and Gator Nation.
G-Vegas.
I don't care about none of that. And by the way, last time I checked, it gets pretty hot in Alabama. I mean, it ain't like it's the North Pole or Alaska or something. It gets pretty hot in Alabama. And they seem to be just fine. But at the end of the day, you got Bryce Young right here. I'm looking at Brian Robinson Jr. I'm looking at this cat right here, John Mechie. Oh, don't get me started with Jameson Williams. They gonna drop another 50. The difference is y'all will get nowhere near 46. Florida, I'm wishing you nothing but the best. I like your school. I love your history and get all of that. And guess what? You're going to win some few games after you lose to tomorrow. You're going to win a few games. Kentucky, Tennessee, LSU, Vanderbilt, and all that stuff. But come tomorrow in Gainesville, they going to mop y'all right out of the state. It ain't going to even be close. It will not be close. I got you losing by a minimum of 3 touchdowns. A minimum of 3 touchdowns. It's going to be a blowout. It's going to be a blowout, and I'm betting you right now it's going to be a blowout. You can bet the house on it, baby. It ain't going to even be close.
So if Florida is closer than that, how about next Friday you rock a Gator tie?
Rock a Gator tie? Done. Yeah. Done. It's not a problem. It's not a problem.
By the way, Stephen A., is Alabama a better football team right now? Yes. You can check that. Do they have more depth? Yes.
Yes.
Do they probably have more playmakers?
Yes.
But when you look at it, right, you look at the way Dan Mullen has coached against them, especially last year in the SEC championship, an incredible game plan, had a chance to win. Alabama threw a pick, and Florida had it, and they fumbled. That would have changed the game. Also fumbled on the goal line. That would have changed the game. Mm-hmm. If there wasn't the miscues, Florida would have literally had a shot to win that game at the very end. So, obviously, Kyle Trask, Kyle Pitts is gone. But when you look at the skill and the playmakers now, it's different, but it is also very lethal. Emory Jones, you could say, yes, he's made some bad throws, but he is also super gifted. He's made some incredible throws. But then Anthony Richardson, right, the new 1-5 in Gainesville, this dude is an absolute freak. And if his hamstring is okay, you're going to see him do some special, special things, Stephen A. And I think you're going to see both of these guys play a lot. Okay. And I think you're even going to see both these guys at the same time. And if Alabama's not ready for it, it might be able to give them some fits. And you're talking about, oh, who does Florida play? Well, by the way, let's be honest. Who is Miami and who is Mercer? So if we're going to trash one team for their opponents, let's be honest about both. Miami doesn't have Michael Irvin anymore.
Excuse me. Miami was a top 15 team in the nation. I understand
that's the AP poll. Who cares? Florida's the AP has 11. No idea what they're talking about.
I understand. That's fair. Here's what I'm saying. I just want to make sure I got all your rationale in order. So Emory Johnson made some bad throws, but he's a damn good athlete. He's a freak of nature. He's going to do some things. Anthony Richardson, we can't ignore him. And, oh, by the way, Dan Mullen and his coaching. And, of course, let's not forget the humidity is very, very important. The humidity is going to play a factor in here. I'm telling you right now. It's gonna be bad. I hope you're not staying for the game. It's gonna be bad.
I want
Florida Nation to understand. I'm rooting for you in the future. I think that you got. Listen, I know the history of the program. Mad respect, and I think that these guys they got some potential, and I expect big things from them down the road. Tomorrow they will get annihilated. Okay. It won't even be
Stephen
close.
Hey, Stephen A., listen, I'm not a gambling man. I'm not a betting man. But since you brought it up, what about this? I want to up it from a Gator tie.
Okay.
One day, and when you get a free day, which I know Stephen A. is so famous and he has so many shows he can't even count, but one day on a Saturday, you got to come. If Florida keeps it close within 3 touchdowns, you got to come and be Mr. Two-Bits in the swamp and then see what it's about.
Who's Mr. Two-Bits? Who's Mr. Two-Bits? I don't know. I follow Alabama. I ain't worried about no Florida. I got to look
you
that up.
You don't follow Alabama. You follow bandwagons. It's cool. Keep riding it.
I've been bandwagon. It's okay.
Listen, ever since
you know,
I asked
Richardson
you to come speak, hey,
Florida
listen, why don't you
Alabama.
Talk about Syracuse like you did
he
a couple years ago?
He
you spoke
play
for Syracuse, and then they lose all their games, and you don't bring up Syracuse anymore.
Well, first of all, when I went to give them a speech, my former boss, who's a great man, John Wildhack, is the sports information. I mean, he's the athletic director at Syracuse University, honored me to
I love
ask
Mr.
me to
Wildhack
come and speak
too.
To
I love
what does have to do with
too.
This?
He's coming with it. He's a great man. He's a great man.
He
asked me to come and speak to the football team, and I would remind you that year they did win. They did win that year. They won their share of games. So let's be very, very clear about this.
So the inspiration you give people only lasts for a little bit then, huh?
Well, I mean, you want to get technical. I spoke at Alabama, too. I spoke at Clemson, too. I don't see them falling off the wagon. At the end of the day, Tim Tebow.
Oh, yeah. We'll give you the credit for Alabama.
Don't give it to Saban.
We'll give it to you.
I will say this, though. I'm happy to come down to the swamp. All I'm telling you is this. They going to get annihilated. The kids, my bad fellas. It's going to be a bad Saturday for y'all. It's going to be bad. Right. It's going to be bad. It ain't going to be close.
I did Google some gator ties while you guys were talking. We're not just going
to
do the orange and blue stripes.
Come
there's
going
to be actual gators on the tie.
Hey, Stephen A, it goes 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, $1. All for the gator, stand up and holler. You need to memorize that when you show up, okay?
Okay. I will memorize it if necessary. Somehow, some way after tomorrow, I don't think it'll be necessary. It's a romp. It's a romp coming to the swamp. That's what I'm saying. You like that rhyme right there? A romp coming to the swamp. I mean, they're going to get beat down. It ain't going to even be close. It's not going to even be close. Tim, my bad. I don't even know why you there. Why would you do that to yourself? That's like Michael Irvin. I told him not to go to Miami. I told him not to go to Atlanta for that game against Miami. I warned him. He didn't listen. Look what happened. And I'm telling you the same thing. Y'all going to listen to me. It's a romp coming to the swamp. You heard it.
Hey, right listen, here. Enjoy your crimson tie for now. I'll look forward to seeing you in the orange and blue.
All right. No problem. Hold on.
I got one more thing for Tim.
Roll tie.
Oh, my God.
Roll tie.
Okay. Can we move on? Tim, who do you like in terms of some early Heisman frontrunners?
He know.
Listen, Bryce Young has to be up there, quarterback at Alabama. Spencer Rattler has to be up there. Also, because of the offenses, the talent around him offensively, both of them are incredible. But I want to throw out a dark horse. Zach Charbonnet, the running back from UCLA, right? When's the last time we talked about a Heisman candidate from UCLA? Probably not in my lifetime, or at least since I was like 3. But this dude, 13.1 yards per carry. He is a grinder. This dude runs so hard. I love watching him play. I love the way he competes. Transferred from Michigan. Again, this dude is going to be a stud the entire year. If he stays healthy and UCLA is able to knock a few of the big ones off, he's got a shot at the end of this year. And then another dude, Ole Miss. And I remember you were verbally slapping around Ole Miss last year, and I told you they were going to compete with Alabama too. I'm not sure if you remember that. Yes. But their quarterback, Matt Corral, already 13, 20-plus yard passes. This dude's for real. I think he's probably playing the best of anyone in the country right now. If they're able to get some big upsets, sustain some success, their defense is playing better, he could make a run at it as well.
Well, first of all, I can agree with your point about that. Listen. Of course it's Bryce Young. All right, Spencer Rattler, I got him at Oklahoma. I got that. I'm with you on the first two, but of course it's Bryce Young. Let's stop the nonsense, okay? And this running back from UCLA, no disrespect to him, Zach Charbonnet. I mean, I watched him against LSU. The brother can ball, but here's the reality. You're playing a suspect LSU squad. Notice how Ryan Clark and Marcus Spears, we can't find him. It's APB out for both.
Ryan's joining us in the next segment.
Whenever the subject of LSU comes up, there's an APB out for them. We can't find them, okay? Because this is not 2 years ago, okay? So you got the LSU. You got UCLA playing Hawaii and LSU. Come on now. You going to give me Heisman consideration? Don't even start. It's Bryce Young, okay? You got your quarterback from Oklahoma. It's a two-horse race between those two dudes. It's just that simple. Because neither of them might lose before the playoffs, and Alabama ain't losing at all.
Let's be honest. Oklahoma, Spencer Rattler, they almost lost and probably should have lost to Tulane to open the season.
Hold on. Did you just bring up Oklahoma? You mean that team?
You mean
the Oklahoma team that beat up Florida 55-20 in the Cotton Bowl?
Yes, that team.
Oh, Lord. Go ahead, Ryan.
Stephen A.
We are not
worried about Oklahoma. Why are you talking? Why are you saying my name when I'm not on the show?
I'm saying LSU. You and Marcus Smith can't find y'all.
Listen, RC, he always uses my name when I'm on the show, so, you know, it's cool.
Hey, first off, at least Tim and I can come on here and rep our own schools and our own team. At least Molly comes on and reps her own school and her own team. You got to come
Why you hating on the HBCU?
And jump on Alabama? At least pick a team that got to fight a little bit.
Listen, you didn't say that to me when y'all beat Alabama. I had to own it, did I not? So wait, you had no problem with me saying Alabama when LSU smoked them, but then now that LSU's getting smoked, okay, and I bring up Alabama, suddenly I'm a front runner. Where were y'all been when I picked them and they lost a few years ago? Even though it was a while ago, I understand.
Man, I was just sitting here waiting for my opportunity to come on First Take and be a part of a great show, and you around here throwing shade when your boy not even on air. But it's all right, because now I hope that the Florida Gators and Anthony Richardson and Emory Jones come out and beat the Alabama Crimson Tide, so next week when Tim's on here, we can have you with the mush mouth not talking at all. And maybe you'll talk about your own school then.
All right.
Let's leave it there.
Go back until the hour number two of the show.
Tim is staying and Ryan's staying for this next segment, okay?
Oh, Lord,
and I'm calling Paul Feinbaum because you're like the new mouth of the South, and this is a problem.
Please.
He needs to get out of
Say it with me. Say it with me, Molly. Alabama.
No.
The romp is coming to the swamp.
I need to get paid more money.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Some notable AFC games. Let's go. The Dolphins are hoping to start the season 2-0 for the second time in the last eight seasons when they host Josh Allen and the Bills. Buffalo has won five straight and seven of their last eight against Miami. On Sunday night, former MVPs Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes will meet for the fourth time in their careers. Mahomes and the Chiefs have won each of the first three meetings. The Raiders visit the Steelers, looking to start 2-0 for the second straight season for the first time since the early 80s. Each of the last four meetings between these teams were decided by exactly 3 points. RC, Tim, Tebow back here with us. Ryan, I'm going to start with you first. Tell me this. Do you trust Big Ben or Derek Carr more?
Derek Carr. And it doesn't take long to answer that question. And the question is not black and white. Right? The life is shades of gray, and so is football sometimes. We're not talking about prime Big Ben. We're not talking about Big Ben that played with the Killer Bees or this team that was predicated on being able to push the ball down the football field. That's not what they do. But go back to what you saw from Derek Carr on Monday night. He has a stretch in that game where there's seven straight incompletions. And there's a stretch where he's getting pressured and he's not necessarily playing well. Darren Waller is dropping footballs. But you get late in that game, you get into the fourth quarter, you get into overtime. Derek Carr made every throw that you could possibly make. There was the fall away throw that actually got them the touchdown to Edwards, or the touchdown they thought won the game. And that was against cover zero. He comes back out. Zay Jones is cover zero again. He floats it up, scores the touchdown. But to me, that's not even why I trust Derek Carr the most. That's not even why Derek Carr has moved up in my pantheon or my tier of quarterbacks. It was what he did post-game. It was in a situation where Derek Carr just threw for over 400 yards. He throws the game-winning touchdown that he took time to praise Zay Jones. He took time to talk about Zay Jones being the first one catching passes in the morning, the dude that's outworking everybody, being excited that his teammate finally got some love and got an opportunity to shine. See, that's what leadership is. And that leadership goes a long way. Now that you have a defensive line that can rush the quarterback with Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue and Carl Nassib, now that you have a running back who's getting healthier in Josh Jacobs, and I guess the best player that John Gruden's ever coached in Darren Waller, This is a dude who's going to have an opportunity to return to the MVP form we saw him pre-injury. So if you're asking me which individual player I trust more at his position, Derek Carr or Ben Roethlisberger, it's Derek Carr, and it's pretty simple to give y'all that answer.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Hey, Stephen A., before you go, Stephen A., when I get off, can you just text me your address so I can overnight the tie?
It'll be there before Sunday.
Get there Saturday. Just to make sure I get the address.
You can have my address because you're my friend. You're my friend and brother. And my brothers and my friends, they have my address, okay?
It's really cool now. You can just have stuff overnighted there. So, like, it's Friday. It'll be there tomorrow. Before noon. Maybe before the game even starts.
Let me ask you this, since you distracted me from my Steelers argument and that blasphemy that Ryan Clark was just uttering. And Ryan Clark, lift your head up, man. We don't need you seeing like you damn near got a bald spot like me. The point that I'm trying to make to you, Tim Tebow, is this. What are you going to do when Alabama romps Florida tomorrow? What are you going to do, Tim Tebow? Because it's going to be real interesting to see where you make sure your phone is on you and you receive my text.
How are we back
I'm going to be
this?
Texting you during the game. After every touchdown,
how are we
I'm going to be texting
this?
You. Okay? I'm just letting you know. Now, let me get back to you, Ryan. It's just a shame. This man won a Super Bowl with Ben Roethlisberger. He won a Super Bowl.
No doubt. I'm so grateful.
Shameful. First of all, what are we now, dear Abby? That's what we're doing now. Did you see this man? Derek Carr, did you see him after the game giving his teammates credit and all
that? Are you not paying attention?
Tell me. I did see it. What I'm saying is, that's always been Derek Carr. Derek Carr has always been a nice guy. Derek Carr has always given his teammates credit. It didn't stop his record from being 48-63 as a starter. I mean, stop it, okay? And this is number two. Derek Carr is no scrub. He can play. But I thought I was talking to two of my brothers here that were about resumes. I mean, I'm looking at Big Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, 32 QBR, 56% completion in game one against Buffalo. Not very impressive. I understand that. But, excuse me, it's an aberration. Came off of elbow surgery last year. Everybody giving up on him. He still threw for 33 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. Still complete about 65% of his passes. Let's see what happens this year. Hell no, I'm not going with Derek Carr over Ben Roethlisberger.
Stephen A., here's my question to you, though. Very often, right, we see where you are in life and how big of a superstar you are. You basically carry the network through so many times doing 18 million different shows. You even spend some time shooting people on soap operas. But Rick, we know about your resume, the years writing, the journalism.
The 18 million was for the show. Wait, 18 million to do all those shows. Oh, okay.
So tell me this though, Stephen A. With your resume being what it is, how do I come on this show all the time and kill you? Because it's not about your resume, Stephen A. It's about where you are in life right now, as opposed to where the other person is and what you are asked to do. Because, see, we got topics on here that you can't fool with me.
Wait a second.
You don't understand them. You can't get them across like I get them across. I am more talented in those situations than you.
Are you saying what
Nick Saban is so afraid of, that it's creeping in with Stephen A. Smith, that the success is turning into a little bit of complacency? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe so. Whoa. Sometimes you're the mom, you become
so much
the mom.
Success,
that's what
right?
Said.
The complacency. Man. Y'all really want to get this started right here, right now. Y'all really want to. Y'all coming into the lines there right now. Let me get this out of the way, because I know Tim's got to give his take here. Ben Roethlisberger's resume matters. He made some big time throws against Buffalo. Let's take that into consideration.
He did.
And Derek Carr is the
Three
one with
them.
Something to prove. Not big Ben Roethlisberger is my point. I'm not saying Derek Carr can't do it. I'm saying he hasn't done it yet. Remember, they started off strong last year. They were 6-3, and then they lost 5 or 6, okay, and flopped out of the playoff picture. Let's remember that. Let's let Derek Carr give us a full season before we elevate him. That's number one.
They could stop a nosebleed.
Hold on. Ryan, we heard you, my brother. We coming back to you. You ain't going nowhere. Hold on. Number two, and more importantly, okay, I'm brilliant because I know I'm not. I listen to those who are, and I learn from them. So you are absolutely right, because what we talk about on here is football. So I'm not going to lie and sit up there and act like I know football the way Tim Tebow and Ryan Clark does, but I do know this.
I know enough to listen, learn, and point out inconsistencies and when y'all lose. And I don't recall Ryan Clark getting the better of me in most debates. The floor is yours, Tim Tebow.
Hey, Stephen A., I think this is an important point we have to add in this debate is the surrounding cast. Right now, the surrounding cast is going to make you trust someone even more. Okay. And the surrounding cast around Oakland, around the Vegas Raiders, right?
Las Vegas. G Vegas should know about Las Vegas. Go ahead.
It's another, G Vegas is here. It's cool, though. But when you talk about Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller, when you talk about Zay Jones stepping up now, I mean, Edwards. Hunter Renfrow is a nightmare on 3rd and 6 or less, right? And he doesn't get the respect he has. And so because of that, I think right now, when they play next week, I think you have to look and say, I'm going to trust Derek Carr more. Not that it's anything taken away from Big Ben. I think Big Ben is a Hall of Famer. He's unbelievable playing
May
against
I
him.
Retort?
I would look, and I would be, you know, you would be like, dang, this dude is incredible the way he's able to play. I still think he's got a lot left in his game. And in the if this is the playoffs, I probably go with Big Ben. But this week, I'm going to go with Derek Carr because of the surrounding cast and because of the momentum they're coming off of playing together in an incredible win.
The surrounding cast. I'm sorry. We got Chase Claypool. We got Juju Smith-Schuster. Mm-hmm. We got Deontay Johnson. We got James Washington. We got Eric Ebron.
Okay.
You should know about this, Tim Tebow. Najee Harris out of where? Alabama. And on top of it all,
there needs to be a statute of limitations for how many times we say that on the show.
A top three defense in the National Football League, and y'all going to talk to me about surroundings? I'm sorry. I think the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger has better surroundings than Derek Carr.
That's not the question.
We're not picking the game. We're talking about what quarterback.
Yeah, I know. I said that he just brought up surroundings, Ryan. That's why I brought up surroundings.
Okay. Let's just leave it. Let's leave it. Let's
I'm making it up. Listen, did he bring up surroundings?
Tim, you really brought
up the
haymakers
surroundings
today.
When you're talking about the swamp, Stephen A.
Okay.
When you come here, the surroundings are going to be pretty incredible. Let's just be honest about that.
Whatever. It's coming to the swamp. Forget it. All of y'all. How y'all doing? I feel bad for all of y'all. Yeah. You're going down.
I can't even hear you. It's too loud.
They
it's only Friday morning.
They see me.
Bye, Tim. Thank you. We'll see you next week.